Welcome to a delicious hour of culinary conversation with Chef Jamie Gwen. Dish with celebrity chefs, cookbook authors, trendsetters, and food experts, and gain inspirational ideas to feed your soul. You'll learn kitchen wisdom, wine education, and lifestyle tips, and you'll eat and drink like never before. Food and Wine with Chef Jamie Gwen starts now.
A very good Sunday to you, food lovers. Chef Jamie Gwen in your radio. I'd like to think that chefs are artists. As chefs, we love crafting signature dishes, folding in our own creative touches, and letting little bits of our personalities marinate through. Blending textures and flavors to create the ultimate experience is our specialty, and you will learn it all here. So don't touch your dial, because this show feeds your soul with food and prose, wine, drinks, travel, fitness, health, and more. It is all covered every Sunday, and it delights me to share with you my passion. I'm always serving up seconds at chefjamie.com. Oh, and by the way, podcasts of this show are posted on my website, and in just one click of your mouse, you can catch all the shows you've missed. And you can always find me on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram as well at Chef Jamie Gwen. So let me set the table for you today as we come to the tail end of summer. Maybe it's all those people vacationing in Cape Cod or Nantucket, posting mouth-watering food photos on Instagram. It's subliminally making me dream of lobster. Or it could be the tank and that really good price, by the way, that I saw at the market this past week. But whatever the reason, summer is the perfect season for a lobster dinner, be it grilled or steamed or stuffed into a beautiful buttery roll. So I thought this Sunday we would have a lobster fest. Now, some say that the world's finest lobsters come from Maine, the claw-heavy creature, the snow-white flesh that seems to be made for melted butter. But it is lobster season in more places than just Maine, and interestingly enough, the natural tendency of lobsters living in warmer temperatures has brought about greater quantities of lobster during the warm seasons. Now, the lobster seasons are actually year-round, with the exception of the coldest winters, but when you can fire up the grill and baste a lobster with Meyer lemon-infused melted butter, oh, and dig into a grilled lobster with summer corn and really good coleslaw, that to me makes summer the perfect season for lobster. So before summer runs out, tie on a bib and get up close and personal with a whole lobster, whether it be grilled or steamed, because it really is the epitome of summer feasting. Now, I learned working in restaurants in years past that the best way to cook a lobster, either boiled or steamed, and a fresh live lobster, by the way, the only way you should cook them, is to place the lobsters in the freezer for about 10 to 15 minutes before cooking. The cold actually causes the lobsters to chill, literally. And when the lobsters go into the pot, it is a far calmer experience. They say it's actually the most humane way as well. Now, as for grilling a lobster, I usually steam my lobsters until they're cooked through about 3/4 of the way, and then I split them and finish them on the grill so they get that scrumptious, smoky flavor. Now, when you're choosing a lobster, or you're standing in front of the fishmonger that's doing just that, Maine lobsters are usually greenish-brown, darker in color, but they can be blue, yellow, red, even white. The color of a lobster shell, though, does not affect its flavor or its texture. But there are a couple things I look for when I am choosing a lobster. I like a lobster that moves around a lot, and one that holds their claws upward is said to be sweeter. Claws should never hang limply. The tails should never curl too tight, especially when they're in the tank and live. And I will tell you, I always ask for a female lobster because the female lobsters tend to have a wider tail and therefore more meat. Now, you always want to look for a clean shell, of course, one without marks that isn't harmed in any way. And then as far as storing the lobster, you really should cook them the same day that you bring them home. However, you can keep them for an additional day if you store them properly. And I like to keep them as cold as possible. So if you have a second refrigerator, it's always the way to go. And you want to keep them in an open container, like a cardboard box, open completely at the top, and then packed with either damp newspaper or even seaweed, if you can get your hands on some. They will stay moist but not wet. And you never want to store them on ice or in tap water, as the fresh water will no doubt kill them. Now, word to the lobster lover. There are many lobster roll recipes. In fact, probably as many as there are lobsters. You can use mayo or salad dressing or onions or not, or celery or iceberg or butter lettuce or a hot dog bun or French bread. But I love a recipe that is simple and oh so good. And I combine the lobster with, of course, cooked lobster meat with a little bit of really good quality mayonnaise, homemade or store-bought, some fresh tarragon, salt and pepper, and I stuff it into a New England style bun that I've, by the way, brushed with softened or spread with softened butter and toasted just lightly. I like the chill of the cold lobster against the warm, toasty bun, and I like it served right away. And if anything, I garnish with a little bit of fresh chives. I've posted the recipe for a traditional lobster roll, by the way, at chefjamie.com. And cheers to your end of summer soiree, whether it be a shindig, a backyard barbecue, or a lobster fest. I hope that it's delicious. And to keep you in the know, it's time for this week's food news. I think foodies should know everything having to do with fabulous food. And so I have good news, everybody. The future has arrived. There are a group of mad scientists and geniuses, by the way, at MIT that just unveiled a team of robots that can take orders and retrieve drinks, including, yes, beer. The research was recently presented at the Robotic Systems and Science Conference in Rome, and I read all about it. The robots are not toys. They're actually better at serving up cold ones than their human equivalents as far as time and efficiency. The real breakthrough, though, is not really how the robots work, but that they're able to work together. So that's really neat, right? But it's not all that these super efficient robots are good for, not just beer. The genius techies actually explained how the computer models could also be deployed in disaster relief, hospital operations, and shipping logistics. And beer is just their first issue. But I know there are multiple people celebrating at the sound of that story. And doing its part to help end the problem of childhood hunger in America, the Habit restaurants are launching a partnership with No Kid Hungry, where they're encouraging their guests to donate. And in return, you receive a certificate to enjoy a complimentary char burger with cheese on your next visit to a Habit Burger. Now, I very much appreciate that the Habit Burger is addressing the very serious issue of childhood hunger here in the U.S. 1 in 5 children statistically cannot count on their next meal, so please do your part. During the campaign, when you donate $2 to No Kid Hungry, which is the national campaign from the nonprofit Share Our Strength, you receive a certificate for a free delectable Habit Burger. And I am a Habit Burger lover because it's really good. Habit Burger, by the way, has locations in California, Arizona, Nevada, Utah, New Jersey, and Florida. Oh, and this is good news for coffee lovers. Oh, and Starbucks addicts more specifically. Starbucks has revealed a major change in the works over how its pumpkin spiced latte is made. Now, this pumpkin spiced latte, I have heard from friends and passionate Starbucks lovers that it is very popular. This year, the drink is going to have real pumpkin in it as one of its ingredients. The drink itself actually came under scrutiny, as did Starbucks, when a blogger last year figured out that there was no trace of pumpkin in it at all, and it had caramel coloring. So Starbucks took a look at it, and when it returns this fall, it will be made with real pumpkin, espresso, perfectly steamed milk, and warm fall spices, no caramel color included. I think that's a step in the right direction. Thank you, Starbucks. And Of course, Southern California food lovers, where do you buy all of your gourmet groceries with the end of summer here and back to school starting? Well, I'm a Smart and Final lover, and I'm sure you are too. And at the new Smart and Final, it's still that place where you can stock up, but now you can pick up your weekly groceries at prices lower than the grocery stores. So grab the freshest produce and guaranteed quality meats, perfect for that end of summer barbecue. You'll find great prices, by the way, on beer, wine, and spirits as well. Shop it all this summer, and then, of course, into the school year, where you'll find exceptional back-to-school savings at Smart and Final. Like this week, First Street chicken drumsticks or thighs are just 89 cents per pound. Fresh chicken and tropical pineapples are just $1.49 each, plus a great value on Breyers ice cream. Okay, I'm in. You'll find those weekly specials and a store near you posted on their website at smartandfinal.com. Smart and Final Warehouse and Market, friend and neighbor. Okay, don't touch your dial, because we are dishing up lots more deliciousness in the remainder of the hour. Dishing on his new book, in fact, The United States of Pizza, is the pizza guru, my friend Chef Craig Priebe, and he will be here in just a moment. So if you love that slice of cheesy goodness, don't touch your dial. Plus, Chef Jason Montalbano is schooling us with a tutorial on kimchi 101. And before the end of the hour, Dick Grace of Grace Family Vineyards is sharing his inspiring story and his endless compassion. And I love people in the food and wine world that make a difference. So please stay tuned. Chef Jamie Gwen in your radio with more fabulous food right after this. It's time for the Melissa's Produce Pick of the Week, every week from the ordinary to the extraordinary, guaranteeing that the best and freshest global produce anywhere comes from Melissa's. This week's produce pick, a Melissa's exclusive. Oh, and are they sweet? This is a late season variety of grapes. It's called the Red Candy Sweet Grape, and the name does describe its great flavor. They're petite in size, this red seedless grape with a big taste, perfect for back-to-school lunch boxes or a cheese platter or two. You always want to choose grapes that are firm with no bruises and don't wash before storing. You'll find Melissa's Candy Sweet Grapes available now. And don't miss out, as Hatch Chili season is coming to an end. You can find a Hatch Chili roast near you at melissas.com, where you can always order your produce direct to your front door. Look for the Melissa's logo where the eye is the carrot in the produce section of your supermarket. The best, the freshest global produce anywhere comes from Melissa's.
Whether you need bananas for lunch, tri-tip for dinner, or party goods for the weekend, you'll find everything you need at Smart and Final. Smart and Final has the low prices of a Walmart, the big sizes of a Costco without the membership fees, plus the freshness of your local supermarket. Smart and Final. Warehouse prices, big and small sizes.
Chef Jamie Gwen here. At Hoffie, they've been making delicious for over 85 years. My hot dog of choice, Hoffie Premium Beef Franks, are made from the original recipe with only the highest quality beef. That's why only Hoffie makes the hot dogs that are so irresistible. For family, friends, and celebrations, Hoffie Premium Beef Franks are the hot dog condiments crave. And oh, I'm craving a Hoffie hot dog right now. Find recipes and ideas at HoffieBrand.com.
Wish summer would last forever? Ask Sherwin-Williams and save 30% on paints and stains during the Endless Summer Sale, August 27th through September 7th. With colors like Picnic, August Moon, and Pressed Flower, you'll be surrounded by summer long after the leaves have changed. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams paint store and save 30% today. Find your nearest store at sherwinwilliams.com/sale. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
I don't like sit-down dinners. I don't go to sit-down strikes. I like standing room only, and I don't ride bikes.
This pretty bad song is by a guy with pretty bad hemorrhoids. He needs Preparation H relief with the power of two. First, use fast-acting Preparation H medicated wipes, then longer-lasting Preparation H maximum strength cream.
Let's sit together on the porch swing.
Preparation H. Don't stand for hemorrhoids. Use as directed.
And try specially formulated medicated wipes for women. Hi, it's Alan Gervey.
And I'm Carrie Kasem.
Need some legal, moral, or just common sense advice?
Then tune in to Gervey's Law Saturdays at 2 when we open up the discussion and tackle difficult issues in law and life.
That's right. You've heard of Murphy's Law, but have you heard of Gervey's Law? Gervey's Law is that anything that can go wrong can also go right. And we go at it with some of the greatest legal minds in the country.
It's the intersection of law and life. Don't miss it. Saturdays at 2 right here on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Quinnipiac University in Connecticut did an interesting survey. They asked 1,500 registered voters to say the first word that comes to mind when they hear Hillary Clinton. The answer was liar. The same question was asked about Jeb Bush. The most frequent word for Bush was Bush.
That is low. That's offensive.
McIntyre in the morning.
Now 25% bigger. 5 to 10 on KABC.
If you have a taste for life, well, then this is your show, because this week we're dishing on pizza. Americans eat about 100 acres of pizza daily. That's amazing. And 350 slices are sold per second. Who knew? Well, from the humble beginnings to the innovative creations of modern day, pizza is woven into the fabric of American culture, really like no other food. Craig Priebe is the author of a new cookbook about to release entitled The United States of Pizza, and he is an award-winning executive chef and pizza specialist, in fact, with 35 years of experience perfecting pizza. He's even been awarded the industry's Best International Pizza of the Year title. Very impressive. Craig is stopping by to wax poetic on America's favorite pizzas from thin crust to deep dish and beyond. And I'm just hungry talking about it. How are you, Chef?
Yes, I am very hungry, too. I'm hungry to get into the pizza conversation.
Okay, so start at the beginning, then. Who invented pizza? I mean, when did it first come to America? There's a lot of controversy here, I know.
There is. There's always controversy with pizza, I feel. It's because everybody wants to lay claim to it.
It's true.
You know, it is amazing food, and it did start over in Italy. You know, through millennia, before, as far back as you could record time, people had been baking bread on a rock, you know, and flatbread. But in Italy is when they took that flatbread and they put basil, tomatoes, and cheese on it. And they did that about 1890. Mm-hmm. And that was the first pizza that we really had seen with tomato, basil, and cheese. It was made for the Queen of Italy. And she loved it so much. And after that, after her blessing, the country as a whole started to eat pizza in Italy. And then 10 short years later, the immigrants are coming over to America, and they're coming in through New York. And as they come to New York, they're selling pizza on the streets. They're literally, just like in Italy, they were selling it on the streets. Until there was a really entrepreneurial spirit gentleman. His name was Gennaro Lombardi. And he, yes, in 1905, he opened up the first pizzeria. And it was he had a door, and he had tables, and it was the first pizzeria, and it's still in existence today. It's called Lombardi's.
Lombardi's, of course.
But, yeah, 1905. But really, pizza didn't take off until about 1945 in this country, because the soldiers came back from Italy. And when they came back, they were craving pizza, and they saw that there was pizza here. They started gobbling it up. And by 1950, there were pizzerias spreading across the nation.
I would like to meet you at De Lorenzo's in Hamilton, New Jersey, and have a Trenton tomato pie with baby clams.
Yes, isn't that a beautiful picture in the book, too? That is a famous pie.
Oh.
That pizza has been around for a very long time. It really started the deep dish pizza. You know, I know Chicago gets credit for having deep dish pizzas, but Di Lorenzo was doing it before. They were doing it with all the toppings inside and then with the tomatoes on top.
Yes.
So I think that it's sort of like a spin-off. You see these things happening across the United States. Somebody does something, and then somebody else takes that idea and spins off on it and
makes
their own take on it.
Makes it only better sometimes, I have to say. There are a lot of very serious standouts in pizza making today. In the U.S., I mean, we have you, the pizza champion. We have some San Francisco haunts that are, I know, lying around the, you know, around the block.
Uh-huh.
Fabulous.
Yes.
I have favorite pizza places in New York. But the two that stand out, sort of not inconspicuous, really, but that are in sort of less cosmopolitan areas, I would call it, are Pizzeria Bianco in Phoenix, right? And Al Forno, which Providence, Rhode Island, grilled calamari pizza, take me away.
Isn't that great?
Oh, I'd get on an airplane in a second for that again.
Yes. I know. George German's pizza over in Rhode Island is amazing. It really inspired me to write my first book, which was called Grilled Pizzas and Piadinas.
Yes.
And he inspired me actually with his thin crust wood grilled pizza to open up my restaurant that I have. I had it in Atlanta. I no longer operate the restaurant, but I did grilled pizza for almost 10 years.
The best.
And it's really because of I was always impressed with the grilled pizza that George German was making over there in Rhode Island.
Now, tell us about Dolce Vita in the Pizzeria Enoteca in Houston, Texas. I don't think you expect Texas to have great pizza, great barbecue, yes, but baked egg and eggplant. So you've got the, oh, does that look good? You've got the soft, runny egg and the roasted eggplant. And,
I love that.
Oh, Parmigiano-Reggiano. Oh, does that look yummy?
That's a fairly fancy dine-in pizzeria in Houston. You wouldn't expect because there's just lots of barbecue there. But it is an authentic Neapolitan pizza, and they do a lot of unusual combinations. They have this egg and eggplant was the one that just, I like this the silkiness and sensuousness of the eggplant when it's really soft and cooked with some olive oil.
Mm-hmm.
And then that creamy egg yolk just bathes it. And there's chunky tomato sauce on there and Parmesan Reggiano cheese.
Okay.
It all comes together on a beautiful Naples-style crust. And it's really cool. You can bake these phenomenal pizzas in your home oven.
Okay, now I'm salivating on the radio studio board, as we call it. I love that you made these recipes accessible to home cooks because you can duplicate the best of the best across the country in your own kitchen. You teach us to make the doughs. You very easily outline the ingredients necessary and the method, the process. I would like to bathe in a deep dish Reuben pizza with zucchini pickle relish. Thank you, Dough Vivi, is it? Portland,
yeah,
Oregon?
Yeah, that's from Portland, Oregon.
Yes.
Such a great idea. It's loaded with sauerkraut and Emmentaler cheese, and it's got chili sauce, which is, you know, it's a Thousand Island dressing. It's just fantastic.
Oh, fabulous.
And that's a great thing to take with you to a tailgating since fall is coming up.
Oh, there you go.
You make one of those and you take it with you, and it's just like this great big sandwich that's a monolith of a wheel.
Yes.
Your friends just can't believe how cool it is. It's an impressive looking pizza.
That it is, for sure. Okay, so that we can better get to know your pizza style, I would like, if you don't mind, for before you leave us, to pose two questions that I think are very important to pizza lovers and connoisseurs everywhere. Okay. One is, in all of your travels and in so many years of making and developing delicious pizzas, what is this fascination everyone has, myself included, with cold pizza? Why is it so good?
It's still pizza, and I think it often reminds us of this wonderful time we had the night before.
That's true.
And pizza is it's very good cold, but I do like to reheat it myself. I really rather have it hot.
Okay, that's my next question. The best way to reheat a leftover pizza.
Well, I like to do it in an iron skillet.
Okay. Oh,
on the stove, and I like to heat the pan up to about a medium high heat. And just throw your slices in there so the crust is hitting the pan and put a lid on it. And then about 3 minutes later, you'll have a real crispy crust again, and all the steam will be really softening your toppings and your cheese will be melted. Hmm. It has the feel of the original.
Of the original. Well,
yeah.
Thank you for bringing us back to the original. Extraordinary praise in advance of the release of the new cookbook from Craig Preby. It is called The United States of Pizza. And as Peter Reinhart, brilliant baker, and Jane and Michael Stern, road food warriors, and Bruce Adell, Sausage King, have all claimed, it is a soul-stirring tribute to pizza from all over America. Wonderful recipes, beautiful photos, great origin stories. It really is a delicious guide to everyone's favorite food. So pre-order your copy now. It's called The United States of Pizza, and you will find it soon to release. But again, pre-orderable on Amazon.com. You'll find an excerpted recipe posted at ChefJamie.com, which I thank you for, Chef. Sure. And then, of course, you should follow Craig and all of his pizza ventures, the adventures and the ventures themselves, CraigPriebe.com, CraigPriebe, Craig, Priebe, and on Facebook under The Pizza Guy. Craig, come back. As soon as you find a new fabulous pizza place sure. across the country, you need to come back and check in.
Sure, I'll be glad to do that. Thank you for having me,
yeah, of
Jamie.
Course. Congratulations on the book.
Thank you.
Really terrific. There's more fabulous food to make you hungry in your radio right after this. Chef Jamie Gwen, don't go away. Planning for an end-of-summer barbecue or even back to school? Well, you'll need to stock up. Chef Jamie Gwen here. You might know Smart and Final as that place where you stock up, but today they are so much more. Introducing the new Smart and Final, where you can still stock up with thousands of club sizes, but now pick up your groceries for the week at prices lower than other grocery stores. No wonder I love, my chef friends love, the restaurant pros love it. Even moms and dads and office managers love the new Smart and Final, too. There's fresh, locally sourced produce, even organics, restaurant-quality meats, great low prices on wine, beer, and spirits, too, and back-to-school savings. This week, you'll find a great value on fresh First Street chicken drumsticks or thighs, just 89 cents per pound, and tropical pineapple at just $1.49 each. So, go shop it all at the ultimate warehouse and supermarket, the new Smart and Final. Warehouse and market, friend and neighbor, find a store near you at smartandfinal.com.
Are you at risk of identity theft? Yes. A new identity theft happens every 2 seconds. Does giving out your social security number increase risk? Yes. Putting personal information out there increases risk. If you forget your significant other's birthday, are you at risk of getting the silent treatment? Probably. No one likes having their birthday forgotten. But it won't increase the risk of identity theft. Unfortunately, things like shopping and breaches will. That's why LifeLock goes beyond free services that simply monitor credit, from detecting threats to helping resolve issues if your identity is ever compromised. No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses, but LifeLock has proprietary technology to detect threats and a dedicated resolution staff to help restore your good name. Is getting the silent treatment fun? No. But it's a walk in the park compared to having your identity stolen. Protection starts at $9.99 a month. For 10% off, go to lifelock.com and use promo code NEWS.
I'm terrible with money. Apparently, a PhD in physics won't help me predict the trajectory of my own retirement. So I work with TIAA Cref. You get quality, personalized advice no matter what your balance is. For me, they make investing as easy as Newtonian physics.
Advice for everyone. One more way TIAA CREF is created to serve and built to perform. Visit TIAA.org. TIAA CREF Individual Institutional Services, LLC. This testimonial is an act of betrayal. Advice is subject to institutional plan rules. Investing involves risk. Individual results will vary.
If it's more important that your tractor works than your TV remote, then CarQuest Auto Parts is for you. If going for a Sunday drive means covering 700 miles in your big rig, then CarQuest is for you. CarQuest is serious about what matters most. Maintenance of the vehicles and equipment that work as hard as you do. Go to CarQuest for Spicer Heavy Duty Universal Joints. Spicer parts are engineered for years of dependable service under even the toughest conditions. CarQuest is serious parts.
Coming up on The Next Drive Home with Jillian Barber and John Phillips, it's Monday. We'll find out what Donald Trump had to say on the Sunday shows.
Can we just enjoy the weekend first?
Live and local right after Dr. Drew and Psycho Mike right here on Talk Radio 790 KABC. That is enjoyment.
Gain culinary intelligence right here and right now. Chef Jamie Gwen in your radio. I'm glad to have you back. Okay, it's funky and it's fabulous and oh, it's fermented. kimchi is part of that growing demand for spicy, flavorful, fermented ethnic foods that has become an integral part of our multicultural society. A traditional Korean dish, kimchi combines cabbage and other veggies in a fermented frenzy of flavors and textures. So what exactly is fermentation? Well, we'll tell you all about it in just a few seconds. But I love eating kimchi, often right out of the jar with a fork as a random snack throughout the day. I find myself adding it to salads like you would any other topping, throw it onto a sandwich and you've got that little kick of heat and great texture. Dollop it onto some cooked quinoa and you feel really good about yourself. But traditionally, kimchi is used as a spicy condiment. So how can you make a batch? Well, my friend, the chef, Jason Montelibano, is the executive chef of Eats Kitchen and Bar in Irvine, California, in fact, at the Hotel Irvine, and he makes a mean kimchi. And so I asked him to stop by to teach us a thing or two about kimchi, and he's here. I'm glad to have you, chef. Welcome.
Thank you for having me, Jamie.
Of course. Okay, so you make a really clean version of kimchi. And that's the benefit to making it homemade, which I love. And as you say, it's pretty easy. But first, let's talk about the basics. What exactly is fermentation? And why is it that some foodies find it very scary?
I could see why there's kind of both sides on being cautious about when they see terms of fermentation. But it's also a beauty process because you can take something as a regular vegetable,
right.
Say for instance the cabbage, and open it up and give it more depth and flavor. But there isn't really too much to be scared about. I mean, it's you can do kimchi the old traditional way, or you could do it in a way now that we do at the restaurant where it's fairly easy. All it takes is time. So,
right.
Yeah, I mean, the only bad thing about fermentation is, you know, if you don't do taking care of proper ways on how you store it. But pretty much fermentation is just a chemical breakdown of substance by either bacteria, yeast, or microorganism.
Right.
And that's what kind of gives it a different texture, flavor, and different other good stuff.
Yeah, other good
stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, other good stuff is right. You know what I love about kimchi and yours especially? There's a tingle on the tongue.
Mm-hmm.
Like reminiscent of a champagne bubble,
mm-hmm.
that you just know you've found good kimchi. And
yeah.
That's the good stuff that's in it. And there is a very modern way to make it, and it's how you make it at Eats Kitchen and Bar, and I know how you make it at home. And
yeah.
By the way, we've posted the recipe at chefjamie.com. If you want Chef Jason Montelibano's amazing kimchi recipe, you should steal it now, www.chefjamie.com, and you'll find a way to eat with Chef as well. But just talk us through it. A modern kimchi made at home takes just 3 days, right?
3 days. So we just take regular Napa cabbage, you know, cut into pieces, whether you like it in chunks or little thin strips,
mm-hmm.
And then we just make the marinade, what we call it, rice wine vinegar, sambal,
mm-hmm.
if you don't have access to chili flakes, the Korean chili flakes, would be a good substitute. This is what we use at the restaurant as well.
I love sambal, though. That's Korean chili paste, and it
exactly.
comes in a paste form. But the beauty of it, different than sriracha, is that it has the seeds within,
yes.
so it's
yes.
hotter even than the
longer
chili sauce you know.
Yep.
Yeah.
So the longer you would store or ferment the kimchi, the longer either spices or different flavors would build.
Okay.
And then instead of the fish seafood product, we just use fish sauce. I feel it has enough depth and flavor.
Yes.
And especially when you mix it with the other ingredients, it kind of creates its own kind of umami
yes.
Flavor to it.
Okay. I love fish sauce, by the way, and I've been known to add a drop of fish sauce to a lot of dishes, mind you, not always Asian inspired, because it
yeah.
adds that umami saltiness, and if you add just a little bit, you can't put your finger on it, but man, it tastes good.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so,
really good.
I love fish sauce in other ways, like Vietnamese cuisine. They water it down with sugar and water, and then
yes.
makes a great dipping sauce for anything.
For an imperial egg roll.
Yes.
Fried and then wrapped in a big, beautiful piece of lettuce with mint leaves and,
you're making me hungry.
I know you're making me hungry. Yeah. We could sit down to that right now.
Yeah.
And then once you have the marinade together, lots of garlic in there too.
Lots of garlic.
Yes.
Exactly. That's the key.
You blend it all together in the blender, like puree it. I mean,
yeah,
so simple.
Yeah, almost kind of like, yeah, just if you were to think about if you're going to make like a dressing, just
right.
blend it all.
Okay.
You know, let it all kind of puree. And then once you have your cabbage all washed off and rinsed off, just mix the puree ingredients together in a bowl.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and I usually mix it all together really well. Let it sit for room temperature. I usually let it sit for like 2 hours.
Okay.
And then after that, put it in a container, let it sit in a refrigerator, and you'll see in 3 to 4 days.
You've got this fermented, sort of reduced, yummy Asian twist on slaw.
Exactly.
Spicy. My mom would
trick me into eating it. Say like when I was a little kid, it always kind of smelled weird to me because when I was little, you won't eat something that smells kind of funky.
But right.
She would tell me it's really good for you.
Yeah.
And I came to find out it is very high in fiber. Yeah. You know, all the antioxidants, vitamin A, B, and C.
That's good for you, no doubt. And
yeah.
You add carrots and cilantro leaves as well.
Exactly.
So you get that really beautiful color. You've
yep.
got the fabulous flavor, and you've got something that will rest in your refrigerator happily for, what, up to 4 months, you say?
4 months, yeah. So it could last a while. So, but usually something that good only lasts like a week.
Oh, it doesn't last very long, right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we go through a lot of kimchi at the restaurant.
I know you do, and there are
yeah.
great cooks everywhere that are running to their refrigerator, or they're going to continue to listen to the show till the hour is over, and then they're going to run out for Napa cabbage. Give us, just with about 30 seconds left, give us a few applications. Like, what do you serve kimchi on or with or under or alongside, or a sneak peek of a new dish that's coming to the restaurant for fall?
Mm-hmm.
Something delicious.
So what we have it on right now is our infamous pork belly buns.
Oh, yeah. Do I love those? Oh,
yeah. It's a
so
take
good.
On a char siu bao,
yes.
Folded bun, grilled pork belly, kimchi, fried jalapeno. It's just kind of, you know, all this flavor in one bite.
Yes.
So, and then other than that option, we eat for family meal, where there were just fish, rice, and kimchi.
Hmm.
And it's a meal in itself, and it's very delicious.
Yeah, beautiful in its simplicity. I love it. I could not have thought of a better kimchi 101 professor than you. And so
thank
I'm
you.
Very grateful that you stopped by. Once again, Chef Jason, I can never say your last name right, Chef. Montelibano?
There you go.
Got
correct.
It right? Okay,
yep.
close. We've posted Chef Jason's 101 on kimchi at chefjamie.com, and you can find him behind the stove at Eats Kitchen and Bar at the Hotel Irvine in Irvine, California. He's got some really incredible creative culinary twists on the menu. He does California regional dishes and his renditions of Filipino favorites, and it's a really lively community hub. The next time you're in town, make sure that you definitely get your hands on his handcrafted and smoked meats that are done on site and his truly fabulous food. Jason, it's always a pleasure. I hope you'll come back soon. And here's to kimchi.
Definitely. Thank you, Jamie.
Thank you so much. There's more fabulous food in your radio right after this. Don't go away. From its humble roots in Spain, sangria has grown to become a popular, refreshing, and fabulously fun party drink around the world. But there's no need to find an authentic recipe or labor over your sangria pitcher anymore. Joya Sangria is grown, produced, and bottled in Spain. And it's now available at your favorite wine store or supermarket or on your favorite restaurant's wine list. Joya Sangria is the perfect choice for hot summer days and warm summer nights. At the pool or the beach or your next barbecue, pair Joya with your favorite tapas, grilled fish, and even summer salads. Joya's red and white sangrias offer a refreshing blend of premium Spanish grapes layered with natural essences of Mediterranean fruits. And Joya is ready to drink. Just pour Joya over ice, add fruit to garnish, and serve. Learn more at joyasangria.com.
Whether you need bananas for lunch, tri-tip for dinner, or party goods for the weekend, you'll find everything you need at Smart & Final. Smart & Final has the low prices of a Walmart, the big sizes of a Costco without the membership fees, plus the freshness of your local supermarket. Smart & Final, warehouse prices, big and small sizes.
Are you at risk of identity theft? Yes. A new identity theft happens every 2 seconds. Does giving out your social security number increase risk? Yes. Putting personal information out there increases risk. If you forget your significant other's birthday, are you at risk of getting the silent treatment? Probably. No one likes having their birthday forgotten. But it won't increase the risk of identity theft. Unfortunately, things like shopping and breaches will. That's why LifeLock goes beyond free services that simply monitor credit, from detecting threats to helping resolve issues if your identity is ever compromised. No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses, but LifeLock has proprietary technology to detect threats and a dedicated resolution staff to help restore your good name. Is getting the silent treatment fun? No, but it's a walk in the park compared to having your identity stolen. Protection starts at $9.99 a month. For 10% off, go to LifeLock.com and use promo code NEWS.
Are you ready to take your diabetes management to the next level? Put the ContourNext meter to the test and challenge your meter. The ContourNext meter makes testing easy and highly accurate with close to lab level results. And J.D. Power ranked Bayer's portfolio of meters highest in customer satisfaction with blood glucose meters. So take the challenge. Go to ContourNextChallenge.com, get a free meter, and enter to win free test strips. Find ContourNext at your local Walgreens.
At TIAA Cref, our record sounds like a broken record. We got impressive results in 2013. And 2014, same thing. We're like, hey, weren't we just here? Then 2015, boom, more impressive results. That's the kind of record you'd expect from a company that's created to serve and built to perform. Intelligent investing, powerful results. Visit TIAA.org. TIAA Cref Individual and Institutional Services, LLC. Investing involves risk.
I'm so tired of defending the need for psychiatric patients to get appropriate care. I'm tired of talking about how people who shouldn't have guns get guns. I'm frustrated. Why can't we mandate some kind of care for people who lack insight and lack willingness? And listen, by the way, the individual is ill-served, the mental health community is further stigmatized, and people are put in harm's way.
Dr. Drew, Midday Live, with Psycho Mike Catherwood.
Weekdays, noon to 3 on KABC.
Feeding your insatiable appetite, Chef Jamie Gwen in your radio. So I love a good story, you know that. And this one is twofold, in fact. Dick and Anne Grace did not set out to create the world-class Grace Family Vineyards Cabernet that would become the first cult wine in America. Neither of them had viticulture training. He was a successful stockbroker. She was a busy mother of three. When in 1976, they took a trip to the Napa Valley for wine tasting and ended up buying an old 1881 Victorian home. They moved their family to Napa, and they began winemaking. And today, Grace Family Vineyards wine is sought out by collectors around the globe. But it's important to Dick and Anne not because of the lifestyle. In fact, it's quite the opposite. The wine allows them to live a beautiful life, but more importantly, they are changing lives through their Grace Family Vineyards Foundation that they've established. There is a book that Dick Grace has written. It's called The Opened Heart, and it is his inspiring story of philanthropic commitment. His passion and compassion is evident. His story is magnificent. And from direct Grace Family Vineyards, he is here to share his story. I am delighted to welcome you, Dick. Thank you for being on the show.
Hi, Jamie. It's my honor.
Oh, thank you, Dick. Okay. So through Michael Jordan, the great master sommelier who I trained with, you come to me through him, I should say. And then my husband, whom you know in the wine business as well, who's quite fond of you, knows your story. And so I was delighted to understand more about Grace Family Vineyards, knowing your cult wines, but more importantly, what you have done through wine to make a difference in the world. And I think we should start out by saying that you would not be where you are today, you say, without your wife, Anne.
Oh, that's correct. That's for sure. We celebrated our 56th year of marriage on Saturday. Mm-hmm. And I said in the book, I think, that if it weren't for Ann, I probably would have never married or married three or four times.
You were high school sweethearts. You chose the Marine Corps. And that had a great effect on your life, your family, your business.
It did. I left college and then entered the Marine Corps as an infantry officer and served in that capacity for 4 years. And it honed some qualities in me, I think, that have helped me run the foundation in a more efficient and better manner, frankly.
Talk to us about the beginning of Grace Family Vineyards, if you would. We'll start with wine, and then we'll meld into your philanthropy. But did you really set out to create a cult wine? I think not.
I had no idea in the whole world, and didn't even know the word cult, quite frankly. Although my mother, when I was in college, was terrified I was going to join a cult. Now I'm accused of starting one.
Now you are the cult, right?
I guess that's it. But we, no, what the vineyard and the winery and this whole adventure has taught me, Jamie, is to live by one's heart, live by that immediate and spontaneous thought of goodness that emanates from all of us. My strong belief is that people are born perfect. And that the challenge of a spiritual persuasion or a life is to stay as close to that perfection as possible.
So explain your wonderful relationship with the Dalai Lama, please, and segue into the story of the opened heart. And really, in your own words, the book is such a beautiful example of your daily struggle and your daily success at making the world a better place.
Sure. I've known His Holiness now since about 1997, so we're approaching 20 years, and met him somewhat by accident after a talk he gave at the Greek Theater at University of California, Berkeley. We went to a small reception that evening at the Fairmont Hotel. I believe there was only about 18 people present. I was the last to meet him, and people had done some what I call Buddhist stuff. You know, they gave him a kata and a blessing scarf, and did a Buddhist sign of the prayer hands in front of the face and heart, etc. And I kind of would have been a bit of a hypocrite, so I was the last to greet him. I just went over and firmly shook his hand and said, "Your Holiness, it's an honor to meet you." And he kind of held on to my hand and pulled me across the table a little bit. And I think we both sensed at that moment that maybe there would be more to come. And there certainly was.
You have taken your extraordinary commitment to charity, to making the world a better place, a lofty goal, and you have transformed lives not only in the U.S. but abroad. I know you do a lot of work in Tibet, Nepal, right? And tell us about your journeys abroad.
Well, I have a certain spiritual calling to that area of the world. I guess it was based in the Buddhist philosophy, but I also believe that you know, when some people say charity begins at home, our home is this planet. You know, everybody is a mouse click away from everybody else, and I love the saw, if given a chance. And if given a chance, people can rise to extraordinary jobs, extraordinary positions in our society. We just had a person who was a nomad in Tibet till she was 14 and then get some education in America. And as the only literate person in her entire family, just graduated a year ago, magna cum laude from the University of San Francisco.
Wow, what an extraordinary success. Your charity will leave a greater indelible footprint than the winery might, even though your name and your Cabernet is known worldwide. Is that what Unsung Heroes of Compassion is all about?
I would certainly hope so.
Yes.
Yeah, that's my major.
Yes.
My major outreach right now is to help people see the goodness that remains inside of them at all times, and how to access that goodness and not let the mind get in the way and say, this act of compassion and kindness and generosity is too far away, too expensive, too time-consuming, too risky, too health-challenging, too much time on an airplane. The rewards are such, if you will overcome that thinking, which I call stinking thinking.
Stinking thinking. I like it.
It leads to a life of joy and a life of meaning. Gosh, it's better than being a 3 handicap at golf.
Well, you are an extraordinary example of that. I know that we can lend our support by going to gracefamilyfoundation.org, and you can find Dick Grace's beautiful biography. It really is an exceptional story of incredible commitment to a personal value, but not only that, to the extraordinary energy and generosity and inspiration to do good things. It is no doubt the first cult wine and continues to be a glorious global cult wine around the world, Grace Family Vineyards, Cabernet, and of course many more. But it is the work of Dick and Anne Grace that is really making great changes on our planet. And I am very grateful to have met you, Dick, and to admire you. And I thank you for sharing your story and your passion. The book is a beautiful read, and I can't wait to share it.
Well, all the best, Jamie,
well,
and
thank you
for having me on.
Yes,
and
of course.
I would incent all of your listeners to turn on the rheostat of compassion. It shouldn't be like an off and on switch, but rather a rheostat that we turn towards light constantly.
As you say, in optimism, right?
Optimism helps.
Yes, that it does. He is Dick Grace, Grace Family Vineyards, and of course, the Grace Family Vineyards Foundation. Learn more once again, gracefamilyfoundation.org. Always a pleasure, Dick. We'll see you soon in Napa, I hope.
Thank you so much. You're always welcome.
Well, thank you. So that brings us to the end of another hour of gastronomic inspiration. I hope that I made you hungry this hour and at the same time that I satiated your appetite. If you happen to have missed a show in the past weeks, I hope you'll go to chefjamie.com where you will find podcasts available for download from Blueberry and iTunes with just the click of a button. And please do become a friend and a fan on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Chef Jamie Gwen, where, by the way, I like to post my last bite. This is my last ounce or tidbit of culinary conversation for the hour. And oh, it's a good one. I would like to thank my friend Chef Mark, who just this past week shared a brilliant idea. There is a proper way, by the way, to say goodbye to a jar of Nutella. And by the way, it applies to peanut butter too. Do not waste what's left that you can't scrape out of the crevices. You can actually place it in the microwave and warm it just a bit so that it loosens. Then put your scoop or two of evening ice cream, you know, that dessert that you run to the freezer for when it gets late, put those scoops right into the Nutella jar. And then I will tell you, you will know that that Nutella had good times. Isn't that brilliant? I love this idea, how to properly say goodbye to a jar of Nutella, posted on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Chef Jamie Gwen, with lots more ingenious ideas. Well, at least I think you hope so. Recipes galore, cocktails, and more at chefjamie.com. I'm Chef Jamie Gwen signing off. I thank you for listening. I'll see you next Sunday as the delicious conversation continues. Eat well.